MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, artificial intelligence is often sold as a threat to jobs, but is that really the case? Here in South Africa, it's now being pitched as the opposite, a chance to create new industries and new employment. Google is backing local founders with cash and mentorship, but my question is, can AI really solve this country's big jobs crisis, or is it just a whole lot of hype? Joining me now is Folarin Aigbusi, who is a startup developer at Google. Folarin, a very warm welcome to you. Why does Google see South Africa as the right place to back AI founders? What's your thinking?
I actually love the question, all right. The way we think about Africa is we think about Africa in terms of hubs, right? We see where there's critical innovation, we see that where there's most opportunity, and the nice intersects between that critical innovation and opportunity is hubs like the South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, Egypt, Ghana, and one or two other places, right? So when I think about the question you ask, I think the response there is that the critical innovation, especially with things like artificial intelligence and machine learning, right, the opportunities that the government is creating, if anything. The third thing is the innovations we've seen from enterprise, right, make for a wonderful melting pot of opportunity, right, for us to then come in and support the more early stage tech startups to play a role or contribute to whether it's job creation, revenue generation, or even bringing in inflows, foreign investments into the country, right, which is part of why we think about running a South Africa-specific accelerator program.
So that's the broad canvas, but realistically, what kind of jobs can AI create here, and maybe more importantly, how quickly?
Sure. You know, that there's the conversation around, okay, AI taking the jobs, but a quote I've held onto for quite some time is this, right, is that AI is not going to take jobs. It's the people that understand how to leverage AI or use AI that are going to take the jobs, if anything. So when I think about the jobs that are created, think about the way when we had the mobile phone, right, enter the markets, when we had the internet enter the markets, right, we went from whether it's the people that would deliver the letters, for example, deliver letters from the post office, right, we went from that to faster communication via mobile phone, via the internet. We went to voice over internet, right, whether it was Skype, whether it was all these different online services and the rest, right? When I think about AI as well, what it does is create opportunity for more productive roles, more higher productivity roles, if anything, more creative roles in terms of the arts and the creative economy, if anything, more tech to be enabled. It allows us build and ship faster, build better and ship faster. Mm. So when you think about, and I'll give one classic example is this, right? It's actually from a startup that we supported in last year's cohort of the South Africa Accelerator Program. It's a startup called Botale AI, right? When you think about banking the unbanked and banking those in the remote areas, usually maybe like our parents, right? Our moms and our dads, who would usually speak our local languages and not have English as their first language. What then happens if you're presenting an English-based platform to them? It's that they still cannot use these platforms. They still don't understand how to leverage platforms like this. And what that means is that they are not financially included, right? But with a platform like this one, for example, where they are bringing local languages to financial services or local languages to other services, that allows for those that are historically disadvantaged or historically unbanked to then start to think about leveraging these platforms. So again, to answer the question, is that AI creates jobs and an avenue for people that would usually be disadvantaged or disregarded to then play a role with technology, to then interact with technology.
And I do acknowledge a very good example there, and I would imagine the difficulty or the challenge going forward is to stop AI innovation from staying in elite tech circles and not, as you've illustrated to me, reaching ordinary people.
Exactly that. It's that. The truth is, Africa as a whole, and then South Africa, has an opportunity to leapfrog our peculiar challenges, right? When we've talked about tech historically, we've seen that it's been the global West and then Africa. It's been that it's only one or two solutions that have gone on to be so innovative because of our peculiar situation that they've been recognized globally. And one of those, for example, is mobile money, right? But AI presents a level playing field where this was sprung up on a lot of us, right, all at the same time. So now we all have the same opportunity to pick up on learnings, to play with the different platforms, to build different solutions, leveraging AI, and see how we can solve for our challenges, whether it's, again, banking the unbanked, whether, again, it's getting education to the most remote of areas, whether it's getting healthcare solutions to the most remote of areas, if anything. And when you think about, again, let me even use another example, actually. It's, we say we have over 1.3 billion people in Africa, right? Our healthcare services, for example, our social, our public infrastructure cannot support the populations that we have. So we have to get creative with thinking about how to solve for those people that would usually be displaced or remote or removed from public services, if anything. And that's where you bring in AI. It's that we can leverage AI for simple things such as, on one hand, whether it's the immediate quick service consultation, right? Quick service consultation. It's different kinds of learning opportunities in your palm, at your hands, as opposed to having to go in school, right, and walk a couple of kilometers to meet a school and meet teachers that are very few and far between, if anything. It's finding these creative solutions for our peculiar challenges.
My parents always used to say to me, Faller, and never look a gift horse in the mouth. And I do acknowledge the work that you're doing in that respect. But I wonder if R1 million in equity-free funding is enough in South Africa to build competitive companies.
The truth is, I have two answers for that, Jeremy, right? You know, R1 million is a lot, but it's also not a lot, right? And but even if it were 10 million we're giving the startups, we could easily see that is a lot, but it's not a lot. Even if we're 100 million we're giving the startups, it would be like, that's a lot, but it's not a lot, right? And that's because we need to understand context, right? The funding we give the startups, we think of it as proof of concept to say, look, hey, we are a trillion-dollar company. We're multinational. We believe in what you're building, right? Here is proof. We're putting our money where our mouth is, and we're showing you that we believe in what you're building. Here is a token amount to help you keep going. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when you think about the entrepreneurs, the standard African entrepreneur's journey, it's that we're all in survival mode when we're entrepreneurs. So we have to worry. We live pocket to mouth. We have to worry about not just our own paycheck, but paychecks of people that we're feeding, that we're housing as our staff. We have to worry about our virtual rents for the platforms that we're building. We have to worry about the physical rent, in fact, for the startup and for ourselves, and much more, if anything. What these amounts help the startups do is worry less about their immediate needs. So it's R1 million, but it helps you say, you know what, take your mind off your virtual. It's also not just R1 million. It's R1 million. It's also cloud credits. Almost $200,000 worth of cloud credits. So what we say there is that, hey, take your mind off worrying about virtual rents for now. Take your mind off worrying about paying some salaries for a month or two or three or four or five, right, for now. Take your mind off your immediate needs and focus on building, right? What this amount then does is allow them shift that focus to building scalable solutions. It then also then helps them raise follow-on funding from the more institutional investment vehicles, whether it's like venture capital, or others, friends and family, or more, which then brings in the bigger amounts of money that help them scale even further and even into new markets.
Thank you very much for talking to me today. That is Folarin Ayegbusi, who is a startup developer at Google.